time for the Vintage Truth Podcast with best-selling author and Bible teacher, Jeff Kinley.
All right, welcome to a very special edition of the Vintage Truth Podcast. Today we're talking about the fact that the sky is falling and the stock market is falling and the economy is tanking and people are freaking and toilet paper is disappearing. And this whole coronavirus mania has gripped the planet, has gripped our entire world, and it's changing the whole world. Isn't that crazy? You and I are living in bizarre times right now. And so today I'm going to address five ways that Christians have to respond and what we must know about what's going on with this whole coronavirus thing. Because in the absence of knowledge, guess what? Fear creeps in. Fear creeps in and also confusion. And with confusion, there is many times panic and there's chaos. We're seeing that right now in our world. I mean, we're canceling the attendance at the NCAA basketball tournaments. They're considering postponing international sporting events. Festivals and concerts and large gatherings are being canceled. The theme parks are empty all over the world. Streets that normally are teeming with tens of thousands of people are not seeing anyone. And the reason why is because of what's surrounding this whole coronavirus thing. So I want to get right to it here. I hope I can do this in one quick podcast here. But here's the real question. How should Christians respond to this crisis here? Okay? A quick couple of statistics here I think will be very helpful. Right now, there are about 130,000 reported cases across the world of this coronavirus deal in about 128 countries, obviously. About 4,945 deaths, according to recent statistics. But here is the stat that no one reports about, that almost 70,000 of these people have made full recoveries of this respiratory virus that is not anywhere near as deadly or as infectious, statistically speaking, as the flu. In fact, during the year 2017-2018 flu season, not 4,900 deaths worldwide. Do you know how many people died from the flu? 61,000 people. That's in one little season. You know how many people were infected? Not 120-something thousand people worldwide. You know how many people were infected? This is all according to the CDC, by the way, the Centers for Disease and Control. You know how many people were infected? 45 million, and no one even said anything. I mean, it hardly made the news, if it even made the news. So comparatively speaking, this is a nothing thing, although it's obviously, if you get it, it's serious, but only 2% or less than 2% of people are dying, and the vast majority of those are way above the stage of being considered middle-aged. I mean, they're older people. Now, those are serious things when people die. We don't want to make light of the fact that people die or people get sick. But the question is, we need to stand back here and take a real deep breath of truth and hope from God and His Word. That's what we need to be doing as Christians. Because even though the medical world, and I know Israel's working on a vaccine and America's working on a vaccine and we're cooperating with each other, it could be 12 to 18 months before there's any kind of vaccine for this thing. So how are we to respond? Well, let me give you five things I think are very important that we cover. I have to do these things really quick here. But I'm going to cover the five things for you that I think are imperative that we address during this time. Number one, this pandemic is just declared yesterday by the World Health Organization as a global pandemic. This pandemic is not, I repeat, is not the judgments of Revelation chapter 6 or of the book of Revelation. It is not a part of the fourth seal judgment in the book of Revelation. And I've been interviewed time after time on radio and television about, Jeff, is this it? Is this the end time judgment? Well, it is not the end time judgment, okay? Now, in Revelation chapter 6, you know, people talk about what's going to happen in the end times. Well, according to Revelation 6, with the fourth seal, there is the ashen horse, this chloroform, ashen-looking horse, this greenish horse. And it says that he who sat on it had the name Death, and Hades was following him, and authority was given to him over a fourth of the earth to kill with sword and with famine and with pestilence. This is the word here that we translate pestilence here. It's disease. And by the wild beasts of the earth. And you know how many people die there? A fourth of the earth. That's about, 2 billion people if it were to happen right now. Now, Jesus over in Luke chapter 21 and verse 11, he says this. And he's speaking about these end times. He says, and there will be great earthquakes in various places, and in various places, plagues and famines, and there will be terrors and great signs from heaven. And I'm going to get to verse 13 here in just a little bit, but I just want to say, this is talking about the 7-year tribulation period. This is talking about the time when God will unleash his holy wrath upon planet Earth as consequence for being godless, as a consequence for being like the days of Noah. These days are coming. Those days are not going to come until, I believe, the rapture happens first, when Jesus will rescue his bride from planet Earth, and then the Antichrist will sign a covenant with Israel, and that will officially begin that 7-year period. But we are not in that period right now. So you say, Jeff, well, you know, could this be a precursor to that? Well, it certainly does seem to be like those birth pangs. Like Jesus talked about the earthquake, he said nation will rise against nation. There'll be wars and rumors of wars. And all these things will be fulfilled officially in the tribulation period. But there are birth pangs leading up to this. And so it's not the judgment of Revelation, but it certainly is helping us understand that we are living in the days where these things are very, very viable. Okay? That's the first thing. Second thing is this. Humanity and global economics are as fragile as your grandmother's China. You know, we think in the world that we're solid, we're stable, everything's okay. Look, this one little virus that is sweeping the world, that is not even as dangerous as the flu, but the panic and the chaos and the fear-mongering that is surrounding this is causing the whole world to go into panic. And global economics are tanking. The bottoms are dropping out in so many places. Now, I believe it's going to recover eventually, but it does tell us that we are very fragile as a human race. It tells us this is all it takes. All it takes is a few media outlets to grab a hold of this thing and for a few big people to cancel this event, and pretty soon it's a domino effect. And it does tell us how incredibly fragile that we are as a human race. Now, if you think that this is bad and you're starting to panic, can you even fathom what it's going to be like in a post-rapture scenario when perhaps hundreds of millions of people suddenly are taken from the earth? The fallout from that is going to be the coronavirus times 1 million. It's going to send the whole world into a tailspin. And that is going to create the kind of scenario that the man of lawlessness, the son of perdition, the arrogant prince, is going to take advantage of to step into that void and to bring peace and safety to that situation. And so if you think this is bad, then if you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, you do not want to be around during the time prophesied history the Bible says is going to happen. And so it tells us how incredibly fragile we are. Third thing we need to know is that fear and panic are some of Satan's greatest tools. They're some of Satan's greatest tools. And Satan is a liar. Jesus said in John 8, he's the father of lies. We know from 2 Corinthians 4:4, he's the god of this world. Ephesians 2:2, he's the prince of the power of the air. He controls the groupthink that's going on in the world right now because he controls the hearts of most people, and including those people who propagate a lot of this, what's going on in the media. And Satan wants you to be afraid. He wants you to be afraid. Now, God wants us to be aware, but God does not want us to be afraid. We'll talk more about that in just a minute. But Satan wants to use this fear and panic in our lives, and he wants to divert people. He wants for people to begin to grasp at false hopes and to run and to hide and to isolate to the point where, you know, they're not reaching out for real answers. As I said earlier in the program, to take that deep breath of truth and hope from God and His Word, Satan's going to divert everything he can away from that. Now, here's the good news. The good news is that I don't think he's going to succeed in that, because you're going to be able to do something about that. I'm going to tell you more about that in just a minute. So, this is not the sealed judgments of Revelation 6. Humanity and global economics are very fragile. Third, fear and panic are Satan's tools. A fourth thing is this. Is that this does actually tell us that we are living in the last days. And the reason I say that is based upon what I mentioned earlier about some of these things being precursors or being like birth pangs. Now, this wouldn't mean anything unless certain prophecies had already been fulfilled that already tell us that we're living in the last days, such as Israel being reborn as a nation, May 14th, 1948. It's the super sign of the last century. It started God's prophetic clock ticking again. And in order for the events of Revelation to happen, in order for there to be an Antichrist to make a peace treaty, Israel has to be there in the land. Guess what? Israel is in the land. She's in the land. And more Jews are living in Israel today than at any time in 20 centuries. And the only thing left is for this person to come on the scene and to make this global peace treaty with Israel that will affect the nations, I believe, that will enable Israel to rebuild her temple on the Temple Mount and issue her sacrifices again. In fact, this very week, the Sanhedrin is petitioning the Israeli government for permission just to go and take one altar up under the Temple Mount to make one sacrifice so that they can begin to make that claim for the Temple Mount. And they themselves have said, once this happens, there's no turning back for us. We're going to have our temple. So they're intent on doing that. And that is going to happen, the Bible says, in that seven-year tribulation period. So I believe this is, that this does tell us that we are living in those last days. And we wouldn't say that unless Israel was in the land. And the only thing left to happen, folks, is just simply for the rapture to happen. There are no other real prophecies that need to happen before this seven-year period of tribulation begins. So I think it's important for Christians to know, to realize, as John said in 1 John 2:18, that we are in the last hour, and we were in the last hour in the first century. But it's like being in the last game of the season. That's where John was. But now we're in the fourth quarter of the last game of the season, and perhaps in the two-minute drill. Perhaps very much in the two-minute drill. We don't know exactly. We're not going to make predictions. This doesn't mean Jesus is going to come back tomorrow. You hear me say that? But he could. And it does mean that it's late, late in the game. And then here is the fifth thing. And by the way, this whole corona thing is affecting everybody. It's already affected me and my ministry. I've already had two huge, huge cancellations / postponements of speaking engagements. One of them internationally. One of them was in Italy, in fact. And that's probably going to happen. And then another one is another huge speaking engagement. And others, I don't know about others, what's going to happen to my schedule. And so it directly impacts ministries like mine. I mean, I don't have this ministry money tree out in the backyard there that I just go pick money off of. No, this ministry is funded through my speaking, through my writing, and through people who partner with us financially and say, Jeff, I want to support your ministry on a monthly basis. So this is really hitting us in the gut right now in our ministry. And I think that's another reason, by the way, before I get to number five, is why this book that I've written, Interview with the Antichrist, I had no idea when I wrote this book that we would hit this world crisis and that people would start thinking more and more about the end times and more about what's going to happen to planet Earth, and more about this global geopolitical scheme that's going on. I didn't know that when I wrote this book, but God did. And so God has caused this book, this brand new book, Interview with Antichrist, to be, he's caused it to be number one in its category. In fact, it's the number one, two, and three new best new release on Amazon in Kindle, Audible, and paperback version. And you know why? Because people are grabbing this book because they want to know what in the world could happen and what is going to happen with this person called Antichrist. And so for such a time as this, this book has become something that is informing Christians so that they can know what's going to go on in the end times. But it's also a great tool that you can give to someone, whether they be a non-Christian or a Christian. Someone said that the other day, I can't wait to give this to my unbelieving son because he likes these dark apocalyptic kind of novel kind of things. Hey, this is the perfect thing for them. And so God, as God always is, he's always proactive, and he has prepared this book for such a time as this. So look, and I unashamedly tell you, go buy this book, okay? Because it's going to get God's truth out there into people's lives and answer a lot of questions for Christians, okay? So, all right, so the fifth thing, here's the fifth thing that we can take away from this whole coronavirus thing is that this is a time for Christians to shine. This is the time for us to point people, now listen to this, to the unchanging truth and hope found in God's word and his message of salvation. This is a time not just to ask people, are you safe from the coronavirus, but are you saved from the coming judgment? Did you get that? God wants you and I to shine our lights in such a way that people will know that we have some of the answers that are going on in the end times. And the answer is, folks, you ain't seen nothing yet if you think this is bad. And you don't want to be around when the virus of God's judgment comes down on this earth through the seal, trumpet, and bowl judgments in the book of Revelation. And so it's a great time. It is a prime opportunity for believers to stand up, to speak up, to post out what they believe about what God, the hope that God can give people. This is a time to say the door to the ark is open. This is such a great opportunity. It's like lobbing a softball, you know? It's like being wide open in the end zone. It's like all you got to do is catch the ball. It's like someone giving you an alley-oop and you're 7'5", this is going to be so easy for you. Don't miss this. Don't get caught up, swept up in the stream of the panic. No, you stand on the shoreline and you throw a rope out to people, and you are able to reel them in and bring them to safety, okay? So it's don't fear, don't panic, be smart, use common sense, and use this time wisely. Use it wisely as a way to help ramp up conversations about the gospel. And I pray that God will, I was asked the other day, do you think there's going to be an awakening in the end times? And you know what? No awakening. Not one awakening is prophesied in the end times. There is apostasy prophesied in the end times in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I think it's verse 3. But there's no great awakening. But that doesn't mean there's not going to be one. But don't worry about there being a great awakening. Worry about there being an awakening in your heart. Because God wants to use the message of the end times and Bible prophecy and the hope found in that to wake Christians from their slumber. Revelation 3:2, Jesus told the church at Sardis to wake up. So he wants to wake Christians from their slumber, and he wants to shake Christians from their comfortable, calm Instagram Christianity. See, I know Christians that, man, they can't wait to Instagram as they're being raptured. Not so that people can know about the rapture, but so that people can give them likes on Instagram about the fact that they got to be in the rapture. You know, I'm joking, of course, but here's the point. God wants to use these hard, difficult truths and the realities that we're facing right now in the world to shake Christians from their comfortable little Western Christianity and this calm little go to church and we smile the kind of thing. Folks, we are living in the two-minute drill. And so we have to know where we are in history. We have to know whose we are in history. And we have to be able to share that hope and that truth with other people. And then real quickly, back to Luke chapter 21. And the verse that Jesus followed up with after saying all these things are going to happen on the earth, earthquakes, famines, plagues. He says in verse 13, it will lead to an opportunity for your testimony. Wow. It's like a verse maybe you've never seen before. It will lead to an opportunity for your testimony. Don't be caught up in all the chaos that's going on. You are a Christian. You have the mind of Christ. Get into the Word of God. Let God's Word, especially what God says in Psalm 46 that a dear sister reminded me of just this morning. Listen to this as I close. God is our refuge and our strength, our very present help in time of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth should change, and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, and though its waters roar and foam, and though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. Look how he ends this whole thing in verse 10. Cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Take that with you. Breathe that in deeply of that truth and that hope that is only found in God's Word.
Thanks for listening to the Vintage Truth Podcast. Please subscribe and share with a friend. For more about Jeff's ministry, go to jeffkinley.com.